Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We have begun to study the book of Ephesians. And so if you will turn in your Bible to the book of Ephesians. And in the meantime, I suppose while you're looking in your Bible, you could bow your head a second. We'll pray for the Lord to bless the word. Father, thank you so much for the testimony of Jan's, dear Lord. And praise the Lord for your faithfulness in everything, Lord, and your safety that you give to us. And we are believing you that you're going to bless this word to our hearts and encourage us all, Father, by the word of God. In the name of the Lord, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we're still in the first chapter. There's so much in the book of Ephesians. And last time when I was teaching you, I told you that Paul wrote this book from the jail in Rome. And sometimes when I read something like this, I think, I wonder if we would do the same, if we would have the strength of the Lord to not say, well, the end is happening here and I'm going to die and, you know, and just give up. But he didn't give up. He wrote many letters back to people. And also he had Peter come to see him in different things. God, not Peter, but the other one, Luke. Luke came and saw him. So last week we had began, and we got through it a little ways. And I think we've got on down to about verse 11. And so we're going to pick up some more things here because this is a lot of word in this book. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I have Romans in the first part of this, so I have to get back to Ephesus, Ephesians. And I would, if you haven't read much from the Word of God, it would be a great thing if you would just take some time to read the Word of God all the time. And when we're studying something, you'll get a lot more out of it if you read it at home and kind of go over in your mind what was said, okay? So here we are in verse 11. And I think we'll go back just a little bit to kind of get the meaning. Let's look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The grace of God has brought us into a place where we are accepted by God. And how is that? By our being born again, by our being saved and yielding our life to the Lord. Hallelujah. We are blessed of God. Praise the Lord. Verse 7, to whom we have redemption through the blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And let's go on down then to verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh in all things after the counsel of his own will. Praise the name of Jesus. So this is where we're going to begin our lesson. This is the second part of the lesson, and we could call it our divine allotment. It's going to give us information on what we have in the Lord, what God has given to us as children of the living God. And notice that in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained. We have obtained an inheritance. I haven't seen my inheritance with God yet, not the one I'm going to have in heaven, but I experience, and I know you do too, the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, all of the wonderful blessings from the Word of God. We have that, don't we? We have all of that. We have obtained an inheritance. An inheritance, and we all know what that is. Praise the name of Jesus. We have inherited the very best things God can give. We may not have a lot of money, but that's not what the whole thing is about. When we understand what a benefit the Word of God is to us, what it means for us to be able to come here to meeting and worship the Lord, the benefit is so great that, praise the Lord, there are a lot of people don't have any churches. You know, when we went to visit in New Mexico, We used to have 4 Grace churches in New Mexico, and now the one at Tucumcari is not inactive at all anymore. The one at Santa Rosa isn't active now. There's some other church got into that building. We went over to Albuquerque. No church at Albuquerque anymore. No church in Berlin. The only church that is left out of 5 Grace churches in New Mexico is the one at Los Lunas, New Mexico. And my niece, Dana, and her husband, Steve, what is his name? I know it, but anyway, Kearns. He pastors that meeting there, Stephen Kearns. And praise the Lord, God is blessed that meeting. When we went the other day, the other time when we went to New Mexico, last time, we went there to meeting, and it was, you know, my husband helped build that building there in Los Lunas. And it was just so amazing just to go in that building and see it full. It was full of people. And that was just amazing to us, just to see that. So God is so good, isn't he? So what has he given us? He's given us an inheritance. We have something to look forward to. When we get to heaven, we're going to be rewarded with all of the things that we have done in this life and have yielded our lives to God. We have an inheritance coming along. We can't imagine even what it is. We're not there yet, so we don't know exactly what it is. But I can imagine just being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father and worshiping and praising around the throne. My goodness, what a wonderful thing that's going to be. We have obtained, notice, who helped us to obtain it? The Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. They're the ones that gave us these blessings, these things that we are going to look forward to. And notice what he says, we've been predestinated. We've been predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. This isn't the first time the word predestinated come up in this book. It was right up there in verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption, and that means son placing. It doesn't mean like we're just God's adopted children. We are his children. We are appointed and we are son placed into the God, to the Lord's family. Of children, the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So this predestinated thing, what it shows to us is that God shows us what he wants from us, and he calls to various positions to do his will. He gives us the ability. We have the ability to be God's children and do what he tells us to do. And I know sometimes it's difficult. Some of the things he asks us to do are very, very hard, like losing our loved one. Different kinds of things like that are very hard. But we want to do the will of God. We want his will to be manifested in our life. And so this shows us what he wants from us, this predestination. He predestinates us. I wrote down these things as I was studying. Predestinated is that effective exercise of the will of God. He's up there. He sees what he wants from us. He brings forth his will. And sometimes we don't listen, do we? He says, I want you to do so and so. I want you to follow me in this way. And sometimes we say, that's too hard. That's too hard. It's too difficult to do that. And we're not sure we really want to do it. But when we submit our will and we just say, Lord, here I am. Okay, whatever it is you want from me, whatever you want me to do. Oh my, what a blessing that is to know the Lord in that respect and to know he's always with us. He's always coming and taking care of us. Praise the name of Jesus for his love to us. In 1 Peter 1:2, we're not going to turn there, but if you want to, you can. But there in that verse, it says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Oh, praise you, Lord, that you have a foreknowledge, because we certainly don't. We don't understand what's going to be in the future, but our God knows everything that's going to take place in the future, and He is leading and guiding our lives constantly. Isn't that wonderful? It has been predestinated by God what's going to happen in our life. A lot of things have happened in my life, and many of you too. We've lost our mate, our husband or wife. We're by ourselves, but praise the Lord. We have the Lord, and He is here with us. He is effective. His will is effective in our lives. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is so good. So God wants, He shows us what He wants from us. And how do we know that? I mean, how do we know what God wants from us? Right here in this Word of God, this tells us what God wants from us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. To be predestinated means that it is according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. That's the rest of verse 11. He has a purpose. He is working all things after the counsel of His own will. He doesn't always go by what we think we need or what we like to tell God that we want that. That doesn't always work, does it? Because He knows more about us and He knows what is best for us. And so it's according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. See, because it's better. It's going to produce something nicer and better in our life. So praise the Lord. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The we here is actually the Jews. Jesus was a Jew in the human form. And right off, His disciples were Jewish people. And when they went out to preach, they preached to the Jews first. Jesus preached to the Jews. He did preach to some Gentiles, and that's really good. One of them was a person in the Roman army, and he preached to him, and he was saved. But in this verse where it says we, it's speaking of the Jews. Praise the Lord. The Jews that received the Lord and became disciples, and Apostle Paul being a Jew, it was to the praise of His glory, not the praise of Apostle Paul, not the praise of Peter, but the praise from what they did in obedience to God and following forth and being what God wanted to be brought glory to God. Oh, thank God for Apostle Paul. Thank God for all of the writings that he did, 14 of them in the New Testament. Where would we be without that? The praise of His glory who first trusted in Jesus. So it was the Jews that first trusted in Jesus, in Christ. And then verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. He's talking to the Ephesians. They are Gentile people. He's saying to them, you're the ones, you people have also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. And the word of there where it says trusted, it means believed and acceptance. And it's what all people do when they come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They trust in God. He is our Lord. God is our Father. Lord Jesus is our beloved Lord. And we have the salvation through Christ. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful thing that is. And so in verse 13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. And that is important too. There are many, many denominations in the world, but to have an understanding of the word of God is the most important thing that can happen in our lives. Because without the word of God, we can't grow. Without knowing what the word of God teaches us, we kind of don't understand. So to understand and to really learn what God wants from us, we have to study the Word of God. We have to read the Word. And I recommend that you read your Bible at home. Take some time and read the Word. If you don't understand something and you just can't get over it, call me. I'll try to help you out. Praise the Lord. So you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The word salvation there means deliverance. How were we born again? We heard the word of truth and we were saved. We received Christ as our Lord, as our Savior. Salvation is the name of it in the Bible, but it also means deliverance. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the basis of salvation is we must have faith and believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And that's the way it is all through our life. I've had people, you know, in the past years ago say, it's a faith way all the way. It's by believing in God for our salvation, but then it's been believing every day. Believing every day, no matter what happens. And a lot of things happen in our life that are not good to us. We don't like it. We don't like the things that happen, but yet we need to just depend on God and pray and let Him just give us that ability to accept whatever happens. Praise the Lord, and it's difficult. I know that because I've gone through that. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. We have this Holy Spirit that works in our lives. He's the one that teaches us the Word of God. Because he gives us understanding. He gives us power to walk in the Spirit and yield to God in our lives. It's wonderful. Going on to verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. I think all of you know what earnest money is. And it's money that they give to you until the whole sum comes or something like that. Different thing, like a down payment on a house that you don't yet have money to pay for. It's a earnest money. You've heard of that. And so the Holy Spirit being working in our lives and the word of truth that we read of in the previous previous verse there, this is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption. Okay, we have redemption in Christ. He has given us a new life. His blood purchased our salvation. And we believe in that, we are born again. We are saved. Praise the Lord. But there is going to be an inheritance one of these days. For the children of God who walk with God and yield to God and listen to his voice and read his word and attend meetings and, you know, you're faithful to God, there's going to be a great inheritance. Some people will have a greater inheritance in heaven than others. But God will be just in all that he does. Hallelujah. And then it says, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now here it's speaking about redemption has a lot of different thoughts about it. When we are born again, we are redeemed. We have been bought with a price. Jesus Christ shed his blood. He was our redemption that gave us salvation. But there's going to be a time when Jesus is going to come back. And it says, in the moment, in the twinkle of an eye, he's going to change everything. Those that are ready to go will go away to heaven. Wouldn't that be a wonderful time? And so this word, until the redemption of the purchased possession, who purchased it? Does anybody know? How does the blessing of God, how's it been purchased? I have to say that good, won't I? Purchased. Jesus Christ. He gave his life. One place says he was the ransom. Something had to be paid. And the enemy hated Jesus. And they were ready just to kill him any good old way. I think all of you are aware of the crucifixion of Christ, how terrible it was. They broke his legs. They pierced his side. They did all the mean things they could think of, piercing his hands and his feet. And that crown of thorns on his head with blood running down. And he didn't have clothes on, folks. We always see pictures of him with clothes, but he didn't. that was not their common thing to do. How horrible, how horrible. Yet he paid the price. He paid the price. It was through his redemption. He purchased, praise the Lord, of the purchased possession. When you possess something, that means it's yours. Can you say, I have Christ. I have Christ. I have the Holy Spirit. I have my life yielded. I have everything in Christ. He is my possession. He is the purchased possession. Oh, hallelujah. Unto the praise of his glory. We don't get a great deal, you know, pat on the back because we finally made it to salvation. Salvation is what Jesus did for us on the cross. And as we accept that, oh, praise the Lord. It's all to the praise of his glory. Oh, praising him for what he did. Oh, hallelujah. How beautiful. Well, we got 10 minutes to preach about 13 things. Okay, so go on. Verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Apostle Paul had gone to Ephesus. If you look on a map in your Bible, back in the Bible, you'll see where it is. It would be in Turkey now, the country of Turkey. But this is where Ephesus was. But remember, when Paul wrote this, he's in prison over in Rome. And so he's writing back to them about this. And it's so precious to think of how that he heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he heard it when he was up there with them. But now that he's in prison, he's hearing from others. Ephesus, the church of Ephesus is going on. The church of Ephesus is growing. The church of Ephesus is believing God. They are with faith in their heart in the Lord Jesus Christ and love. Oh, praise the Lord. I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love unto all the saints. You know, that's exactly what God wants in our lives. He wants us to love all the saints. He wants us to be full of faith. Don't let the devil trick you into, oh, my things are so bad, you know, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Well, you're not going to do it in your own strength. You're going to find help in the Lord God, and you're going to find it in Jesus, and you're going to find it by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's where the problem is going to be all set, completely taken care of. And so he, in verse 16, he did not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Isn't that wonderful that Paul was back there in the prison and everything was so bad? This was a terrible prison he was in. And I mentioned to you that I had read that one time they put him down in a great big old vat thing and made him be in there. All the bad things that he had to go through, yet he would not fail to pray for the people of God and give thanks for them. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. How do we really get a knowledge of the things of God? How do we really do that? We do it by the Lord God giving us ability to understand. Like when we come to church, if I preach something or somebody else teaches something and you don't understand, what do you do about that? You just say, well, I can't go to that church because I don't understand what they're saying. Or, you know, oh, you pray. You ask God to help you to understand. And he does. He's very faithful. And that's what it says, that God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give to you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him. I wrote a lot of notes down. I came home late yesterday, and I wrote a lot of notes down, but I want us to see some things right here in this 17th verse. Paul prayed that God would give all of these characteristics to those people that he would minister to. And he knew they didn't have Paul anymore. Only thing they had from Paul was this letter to Ephesus. And so what do we find in verse 17? First, the first thing I noticed was the spirit of wisdom. God will give unto us a spirit, a continual unveiling. I write in my Bible, so when there's some meaning, I'll write it right there by it so I know. So God gave us this continual unveiling of the knowledge, the spirit of wisdom. That's what that word wisdom means. And revelation in the knowledge of him. So here we have it. The number one thing was he gave us a spirit of wisdom, a divine gift granted by God. And James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So this beautiful revelation, God's act of revealing unknown truths to us. Praise the Lord. Number two, the knowledge of him. The revelation was the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of God. And that's what, don't you want that? I do. I want to understand the Lord more and more, better and better. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I want to understand them better and better and deeper, and that's what that word says. Now, in verse 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance. So first, he says that your eyes of understanding, we have a brain. That isn't how we come really to know the Lord through our brain. It's the Spirit of the Lord in us that causes us to understand the things of God. So understanding means to gain an insight into God's Word. And the more we read the Word of God, the more we're going to understand it. There's many, many deep things in the Word of God, many that maybe we haven't even studied yet. But praise the Lord, we need to be a person that has a Bible and reads the Word of God. And then notice it says, being enlightened. This is so important too. Enlightened kind of speaks like a light coming on, doesn't it? And so whenever we have the Word of God taught to us and the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Lord, we're going to be understanding. We're going to be understanding what we're hearing. And that's what we should desire, that we really understand the Word of God, the truth. That's the good about reading your Bible at home. That's the good about studying the Word. Come to something, think about it. Say, Lord, what does that mean? That's the studying part. Praise the Lord. All right. So, now the next thing. Know what is the hope of his calling. See that in verse 18? He wanted the people to really know what the hope of his calling. What's he talking about? I believe it's talking about the coming of Jesus. God has always several things we could think of. He has called us to be his children. He has called us to be dedicated to God, hasn't he? That's part of the calling of God. But also, one of these days, and we have a hope of this. He's going to call us. Come up here. Ooh, praise the Lord. We're going to fly away. Hallelujah. It's going to be wonderful. Wonderful to know. And how precious it is to hear the Word of God. And what the riches of his inheritance. We're not talking about, you know, making a lot of money and getting well, getting really, really rich, you know. We're talking about spiritual riches, spiritual things. We need to understand the Word of God, and it is so important. I've said it once already or three times. Read the Word of God at home. Take some time to read the Word of God. And as you read, think. Stop and just give it to the Lord and say, what is meant here? What does this mean? And first thing you know, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the understanding of the Word of God. It's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. And so down in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us? Paul is saying, I want you to know this. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us? Have you ever had an experience with God where he manifested his great power? I've had experiences where it seemed like he didn't manifest his great power too. And that's very difficult. I lost a child that died with muscular dystrophy. And it was very, very hard. It was a very hard thing. I've lost my husband too, you know. But God is with me and he is faithful. And I know the exceeding greatness of his power. I hope you do. I hope you can say, I understand that God has a great and marvelous power, and he can help me if I just call out to him. And it's to usward who believe. Notice that. Believe. Believe. It's important that we keep believing, that we don't just say, oh, yeah, you know, he'll do something for me eventually, you know, or something. But when I come to the point where I have nothing else but to depend at all, like brother was preaching about Jonah, he finally did learn it, didn't he? He finally did. But he had to go through some awful things before he actually would give it all to the Lord. But we want to have this great power that he has given us, and this believing in this will bring about the working of his mighty power in whatever thing it is, which he wrought in Christ. All of these things that we read here from 16 down to 19 are all things that God had in Christ. Christ was this way. When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, that's what happened. Jesus was set at the right hand of God in the beautiful place there, and he's waiting for us to come. And then he tells us it's far above all principality and power. What's he referring to? He's talking about the satanic power that there is. You know, Satan rebelled against God, and he has these angels that are with him. They go with him, and they do violent things, and they stir up trouble all the time. And Apostle Paul is saying, yes, we are in the Lord's realm spiritually, far above all of these principalities and powers and might and dominion. Yes, all of that stuff that goes on in this world. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which to come. Above everything is where we dwell. We dwell in heavenly places. You know what? As we're living in this earthly life, we have to reckon that. We have to believe that. No matter how hard it gets on us here, keep on believing. One of these days we're going to be in heaven. He's coming. He's going to come back. And I believe it's soon. He's going to come back. And he's going to call us away. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So it's far above all the principalities of this world, all of these masters or rulerships or whatever is here on this earth. Oh God, we're going to go in heaven one of these days. Verse 22, he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. God, through Jesus Christ put all things under his feet. Do you know what that means? No one has greater power than Jesus and God, our Father. No one is able to put them down. No one is able to take away the things that we have in God. We have it because the Lord has brought down his mighty power and all of that. Hallelujah. He's put everything under his feet. And he gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Who's the head of the church? Jesus. Everybody said Jesus. That is true. He is the head of the church. And how thankful we are. I'm glad that one of us isn't the head of the church. Praise the Lord. God uses us But there are people that go around, you know, they like to be the head of the church. And they're not necessarily spiritual. So we are thankful that the Lord Jesus is the head of the church. Then it says in verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So God has a body of the church, the body of Christ, of the natural, of those who are born again, those who yield to God. And this is something that is the fullness of Christ. His what he did on the cross brought out a wonderful, wonderful thing for all of us to be in this wonderful church, our not the physical body of the here that I'm looking at here, but the group of people that are called the Church of the Living God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.